Appreciate the honor and privilege to stand and do the best we can to preach the Word of God. You know, I'm not nothing in of myself. Even Paul didn't count himself worthy. He was thankful that God and Christ enabled him, putting him into the ministry and trusting him with the ministry. And I count it a great honor to be among the brethren, amen, that he has put into that same trust. I'm glad that I've got several preacher friends here tonight. Amen. It always means a lot when you have people, amen, that know what you're going through, know exactly what you're going through. Been there before, you've been there, and know about the butterflies and know about all the jitters and everything. Yeah. You know, we dread it sometimes, but it's necessary to help us stay on track, amen, and continue to regard God's sacred desk as just that, as sacred. Yeah. And I've been studying a little bit today, and been a little bit excited about what God has shown me, some things that He's revealed to me in His Word. You know, I told him this morning where we went to that it seems like no matter how many, you can be 9 years old, amen, and read the Bible every day. And I'll tell you what, in 90 years, you still can't know it all. And every day you open the Bible, you'll find something else.
That's right.
Amen, that's brand new. Amen. Amen. Just as if you'd opened it the first time. And I'm glad God, amen, it's given us not just an old book, amen, just an old book that's been handed down through centuries. Amen, just an old book, amen, just like any other old book. There's been books that's printed out there that's amen, maybe older than the Bible that I have right now. Mm-hmm. Amen, but I'm glad that God's Word is living, amen. It hasn't died. It's not going to die. It's going to be here when the world, amen, is on fire.
Yep.
Amen, it stood the test of time down through the ages. The Bible talks about it being a preserved Word. And that it's pure, amen, and tried. The silver is tried 7 times, purified. Yep. Amen. I'm glad we've got a word today that's alive, amen, and it's quick and it's powerful.
Right.
Amen. It can pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And that's the kind of word, amen. Amen. That I read today. That's the kind of word that I'm going to preach out of tonight. Amen. God being my helper. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, amen, unzip them things. Amen. And pay attention tonight.
That's right.
To Ephesians, if you will, chapter 3.
Amen.
That's right. Bless the Lord.
I used to have a Bible cover of my own, and I didn't have a zipper on it. But I had to take the thing off because it was messing my Bible up. The cover just kept getting messed up on it. And I said, you know, I worried to death. I'd write on my Bible, marking my Bible, and I worried to death about the cover falling apart. And I got my old Bible, the one I had before this, took it out today and started reading it. Man, it's got shipping, packing tape all over it, and it's crackled and everything. And I tell you what, I wouldn't give nothing in the world for that thing. Amen. Colette knows the story about that. One day I lost my Bible and couldn't find it for nothing. Come inside the church house, looked all the way up down the pews, couldn't find it. I mean, scared to death, all the notes, all the years that I'd had in that Bible, couldn't find it. And I told the Lord, I went home, I said, Lord, I had just bought this Bible like maybe a month or two before that when the Cornerstone Christian Bookstore was going out of business. Amen. I think it was about 2012 when it was, and I just bought this Bible, and I was kind of afraid to get into it because it wasn't broke in, and amen, was worried about it and everything, and I guess the Lord had to take my book, like you say, Jerry. I guess He had to take my book away from me, and I pray the Lord help me find that thing. If He did, I'd start using this, and I'd just put that aside and leave it as a keepsake, and whenever I was at home, I'd take it out and read it there. Amen. And I think I put it on Facebook or something. I couldn't find my Bible. Amen. Looked everywhere for that thing. And here Colette, Sister Colette called me up, texted me, and said, I found your Bible. I said, oh Lord, have I lost it in the ditch somewhere? I thought I'd lay it on top of my car. She said, no, it's here in the back two church pews. I thought, Lord, I looked at all the church pews. I just didn't see it there. And when I got there Sunday, there it was, right there on the edge, sitting on the church pew. And I was praising the Lord. And long story short, amen, I've got that Bible at home now, and this is the one I take and pack around with me. I ain't worried about it getting beat up or anything. I'm glad it'll show it's got some use on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I think somebody said, amen, that a worn out Bible is evidence of a life, amen, that's not worn out, amen, it's
right.
Being used, amen.
Yeah.
But I don't know, didn't mean to say all that, that just came out, amen, that's free for you, it won't cost you a thing. Amen, turn, if you got your Bibles, like I said, Ephesians chapter 3, let's go ahead and start reading it, the first verse. Very wonderful scripture this morning, not very familiar, but some scripture that really touched my heart today, thinking about it. It says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And here's the mystery he's talking about, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to stop our reading right there. If you would, bow your head with me. We'll go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, we thank you, Lord, so much for the opportunity to be here in this house. We thank you, Lord, dear God, that your word speaks to us, Lord, dear God, that as we open the word, it opens to us, Lord. God, we just pray that the words that come out of our mouth today, Lord, dear God, will be shaped by the potter, Lord, the hand of the potter, Lord. God, to be able to be directed into the ears of the hearers tonight, Lord, exactly as you have them to hear, Lord, at their fallow ground, Lord. God will be able to be broken up, Lord, as they will be able to receive the seed upon the good ground. Amen. As the seed is the Word of God. Bless this Word today. Bless us as we preach it. Help us to get out of the way. God, that you may have, the privilege, Lord, the authority here tonight, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray these things. Amen and amen. Now, I'll tell you what, I could take that as much as God has shown to me, and every time I just read each and every verse that stood out to me, I could take every one of the verses, amen, and probably preach a message, two or three different messages in each one of those verses, amen. For a long time, I've been wondering about the mystery of Christ, and I've searched that out for a little while. And, amen, it even talks about, amen, some other things he goes on, how Paul thinks he's the least of all saints, amen, and the unsearchable riches of Christ, and, hey, all these other things, amen. But I want you to pay particular attention to verse 11 there. A couple of words that stood out to me. Amen. Today when I started searching and studying for something to preach tonight, something that come to me and just would not leave me alone. Amen. It says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those two words, eternal purpose, amen. God has an eternal purpose, amen, according to his will. Amen. And you know, there's a lot of places in the Bible that I've been thinking about a lot that talks about God's purpose. Amen. He talks about how his ways are not our ways, amen. He talks about how his ways are just as high in the heavens, amen. Amen. I think it's Isaiah 55 that talks about that. Amen. But he talks about there that his ways is higher than our ways, like I said. Amen. And he also goes down. Let me just turn over there real quick. Amen. He talks about Isaiah 55. He says, my word that go forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Amen. According to God's purpose, it's going to prosper. Amen.
Right.
We find that in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to His purpose. Amen.
That's right.
There's a lot of places in the Bible that talks about working things out according to His purpose. Seems like today the world is all wrapped up with what's my purpose in life.
That's right.
Hey, man, I want to know what my purpose is in life. Amen.
Yeah,
right. Hey, they've left God out of the picture completely. Don't want to know what His purpose is. Hey, man, I tell you what, His purpose is eternal for one thing. It says He has an eternal purpose right here.
Yeah. Right.
Man, this scripture is some amazing scripture. Begin to read that. If you go back to verse 6, it talks about what that mystery is that Paul himself said was hidden, amen, from the prophets and from everybody else, even Daniel, even the rest of them, until the time of the apostles, amen, in the time of the prophets by the Spirit.
Yeah.
It was hidden unto the sons of men, but it's now revealed. And to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the Christ by the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. How do you become saved? Well, that's it. By the gospel.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Now, without the gospel, amen, we don't have the hope of Christ. Without
right.
the gospel, we don't know about Christ.
Yep.
Without the gospel, amen, no man can be saved. Yeah. Amen. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
The gospel, amen, came to this earth and is to be preached unto every creature and to all nations.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said that after the gospel was preached unto all nations, then shall the end come.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Amen. So as we live in today, I tell you what, we're living in a day that's never been possible before until now. Amen. You can have all the missions in the world that you want to. Hey, but I don't care how many missions you have, they ain't going to reach as far as what we have now called the internet is going to reach.
Right.
I can be here at Fredonia and be on the internet at the same time through a live stream, and so that people all around the world could hear the gospel tonight and be able to hear, amen, the very words that you are sitting here listening to. Friends, that just couldn't happen 30 years ago.
That's right.
Couldn't happen 20 years ago, and could barely happen 10 years ago.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible says in Daniel, in the last days, the knowledge shall be increased.
Yeah.
Amen. It's multiplying. It's no longer adding upon itself. It's multiplying in great exponents.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't go to town without buying a version of an iPhone. Get home. By the time you get home, they've got another app sitting on retail. Amen. And you already won't need it.
Amen. That's right.
I tell you what, every day we got a software update. We got to update them old phones, and they got to be running properly and everything.
Yeah.
You just can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And now we've got the capability, amen, for the whole world to hear the gospel.
That's right.
Amen. There ain't much left on God's time clock before He returns. Amen.
That's right.
I tell you what, it won't be long. I don't believe. But amen. He's coming soon. They sing a song, coming soon.
Yeah.
Amen. But God, Christ said, "Behold, I come quickly." Amen. Yeah. That means in a speed of a second, even faster than that, a twinkle of an eye.
Yeah.
He'll be here.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. And this gospel, amen, that's being preached, He says, hey, that's how the Gentiles are able to become, amen, the sons of God. Now, I was thinking about this in there in my study, looking outside. I kind of daydreamed a little bit about some of the message, what God had maybe placed on my heart. I began to think about that eternal purpose. Hey, you know, there's places in the Bible, if you look and you mark it over on the side, hey, if you got a Thompson Chain Bible, amen, it talks about a foreordained plan. Across from verse 11 there. That eternal purpose is a foreordained plan. What's that mean? That means that it was ordained before by God.
Amen.
Amen. And later on, Ephesians, if you'll flip on over there, first chapter, amen, it talks about that. Amen. It talks about, it said in verse 7, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Amen. It talks about later on, amen, that He was foreordained, amen, that He, the Christ, amen, was slain, amen, before the foundations of the world. It begins to talk about that. How, amen, how He was before, in verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love.
Yeah.
Amen. That eternal purpose, amen.
Amen.
That foreordained plan, amen. And as I was sitting in there in my study today, I began to think about the story, amen, of how everything got here and what happened, amen, that God had a plan in mind the whole time. Amen, God is in control, amen, today. I don't care how many terrorists want to attack America, how many people want to thieves want to break through, steal and kill and destroy. God's still in charge. He's still got a plan.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. Go with me in your minds, if you will. Just for a few minutes. But when everything started, the Bible says in John that in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God.
Amen.
And by Him all things were made.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was nothing that was made that was not made by Him.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says on later on, it says that it was made by Him, and by Him all things consist. And by Him is Christ. You saw that He made the world through Christ. Remember in the Bible, in Genesis, where it said, "Let us make man in our own image." Amen. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our own image. Amen. You can just picture space without any stars, just blackness, utter nothing. And there God was in the middle of all of it. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He told Pharaoh, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, amen, I am, said to let my people go, amen. That means he's always been, he's always present.
Amen.
Amen. And all of a sudden God, knowing what would happen later on in the future, he created the earth, he created everything that walked and lived and breathed among this earth today. He created the stars, he created the universe, he created the galaxies, the planets, the asteroids, amen, everything you can think of, everything that man has even fathomed and not fathomed, God made it.
That's right.
And when he made it, friends, he said it was good. You say, well, God made the devil. I say, no, he did not. God made Lucifer. Amen. And Lucifer was good in the beginning.
Yeah.
Lucifer made the devil. Lucifer fell. He made a choice. He made himself. Amen. And he was cast down to earth and became a serpent. And y'all know the story about that. But anyway, the world was made, the earth was made, everything was made, and on the seventh day God rested and he looked at his creation and he said it was all good after he made man and everything else. We know the story, along goes time and we find out that man, just in the space of a few chapters, amen, took of the forbidden fruit that the devil tried to offer to them, amen, and man became a fallen being as well. Hey, and God knew this all the time, that before he even made the earth, that this would happen. He knew what would happen later on. Amen. When Noah would have to face a flood, amen, that would last for many days and many nights. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights of rain would have to come down on the earth. Amen. He knew that when he destroyed the earth with the flood, amen, that the plan of salvation was in Noah's loins. Amen. After he became on the ark, amen, the world was destroyed by the great flood. Amen. God had a plan. He still had everything set in motion.
Amen.
Amen. He knew that, amen, later on we find out that Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15 and chapter 17, we find that Abraham cut covenant with God by dividing an animal in half.
Amen.
And that light, that smoking flax, will walk between the two pieces. Amen. And then Abraham had to walk between the two pieces. Amen. And the covenant was set that he would become a blessed nation. And that out of him his seed and his loins will be blessed.
Amen.
We come on down and we find out later on that God had destroyed a few cities there called Sodom and Gomorrah, and God still had a plan in effect. Amen. Later on, we go down through the annals of time. We find, amen, that for so many years, Israel, amen, rebelled against God. Amen. They went into captivity with Egypt. Amen. They came out of captivity. Later on, we find they were made captives by Syria. They were made captives later on by Babylon. Amen. God trying to warn them the whole time to repent, trying to hold them the whole time, amen, to come and return back unto him.
Amen.
And don't forget my thought, eternal purpose. Amen. We find later on through the annals of time, as we go down there, we find that finally one came on the scene. Amen. Preaching the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lamb of God, that was slain before the foundation of the world. That man's name was John. Amen. He told the people, I'm not Christ. Amen. He's going to come after me. Amen. And all of a sudden Christ comes on the scene. And John looks at him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
The Lamb of God, it was prophesied some 700 years before by Isaiah. And many thousands of years before by God when he told the woman, he told Satan that, amen, that, amen, you'll bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. The seed, the plan, were before the foundation of the world, before the world had its own foundation began to be built. God had a plan and it was still in effect. The devil couldn't change the plan. Ain't you glad that the devil can't change the plan?
That's right.
The devil can't change the plan. God's still in control.
Yeah.
Amen. And this Christ that came, the one who appears throughout the Old Testament in many various forms as a rock, we learned a few weeks ago in the Bible study, many other ways he appears. Amen. He appears in the Old Testament to the three Hebrew children as a fourth man in the fire. Many other times, no doubt, he may have been even the burning bush.
Yeah.
Who knows, amen, how many times God has appeared in himself as Christ before he even came on the scene as in the fleshly form. But here he goes. Amen. 30-something years later, he's had his ministry fulfilled. Amen. He's been escorted to a hill called Calvary. He's been beaten. He's been spit upon. Amen. His hairs of his very head has been plucked. Amen. They put a crown of thorns on him. He had got done through praying through the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat became as great drops of blood. And we find that they lead him on the way to Golgotha, and on the way there he stumbles and falls. Hey, we find one Simon, I believe it was, of a Cyrene. Amen. They told him to take his cross up and help him carry it up the hill.
Amen.
They lay him down. And I can see the hammer as it comes in the air. Amen. Coming down as they stretch his hands out on the wood. They begin to pound the nails into the hands of the Savior, the hands of the one that was destined to come into the world and save the sinners. Amen. Save all that was lost. Amen. And they raise that cross up, and there he stands between heaven and earth.
That's right. Amen.
He could have called, the old song says, 10,000 angels. He could have called a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Legions were at his command. All of them made just for him.
Yeah, that's right.
All of them made just for him. We find that he gives up the ghost. He says, Father, forgive them. It's finished. He's put in the tomb. And hey, man, and the devil once again thought he's won the plan, that he's changed the plan, that everything's okay, hunky-dory. Hey, send some guards down there to make sure that he can't be taken out of there and stolen away. That his disciples can't say that he's arisen, but they really, in secret, have taken his body somewhere. They placed a tomb at the door and sealed it with their own seal.
Yeah.
To make sure that it wasn't broken before. Hey, man, anybody can get down there and guard that thing. Amen, but there ain't no seal, amen, that could hold back the Son of God. Hey, there ain't no disease that could hold back the Son of God. Even death itself had to let go its grip, amen, of the Son of Man. Had the Son of God, amen, and he came forth out of the grave, amen, in a glorified body, and the stone was rolled away.
Amen.
And he was resurrected of his own accord. Still, the plan is in effect. Amen, and down through the years, like I said, Israel, amen, they disobeyed God. They turned their heads away from God. And when Christ came to the world, in John chapter 1, it talks about how he came to his own, and his own received him not. But them who did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And it said, whosoever will, amen, may be able to come and have everlasting life.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get to a point here. I'm trying to let you know that God had a plan in effect, that eternal purpose. He knew before he created the world that man would fall.
Yeah.
He knew that the devil would have his hands, his grubby hands all over everything. He knew that Noah would be the only one saved with his household. He knew that Abraham's covenant that he made with the covenant of Abraham had been all the Israelites that would come after him spring forth from his loins. He knew that covenant would be broken. He knew that the law that Moses had handed down would be broken. He knew that none of that could stick. There had to be another plan.
That's right.
Time went on, and he was ready to redeem Israel. But Israel would have none of it. Amen. In Jeremiah, there, I think chapter 6, verse 16, it talks about, he said, stand in the ways, seek out the old paths, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And they said, we will not. Jeremiah preached unto him, and he said, well, we don't believe you're from God. Before, they said, we'll do whatever you say, whatever you tell us to do, we know that the Lord will be in it. But after he told them what they need to do, which was to stand still, amen, see the salvation of the Lord, let the Babylonians come in, take you captive, take you away from your land, God will bring you back.
That's right.
Amen. Oh, you're a crazy preacher. We don't want nothing to do with you. Put him down there in the mud pit.
Amen.
God knew all that would happen. Amen. You know what had to happen, Jerry? I love this. He said, Paul, listen to this. Amen. He said, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, basically he's saying, for this cause and all these things he's been talking about before, Paul was a preacher sent forth to the Gentiles.
Right.
Just as Peter was earlier on. Amen. And the Gentiles is who you would have to turn to. Amen. The rest of the world that everybody, all the Jews look down on. Amen. The woman that needed a little bit of bread for her table. Amen. And was willing to take the crumb to the ground.
Amen.
That's the one that Christ was ready to call.
Amen.
To redeem the world, to redeem Israel back, to redeem the rest of the world. He called the lowly. I'm glad in 1 Corinthians that he said, hey, you know your calling, how that not many mighty, not many wise are chosen. Hey, God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to confound the strong. What are those weak things? I believe that's the Gentiles. Amen. I believe that's you and me. Hey, the wise and the high and mighty were the Pharisees, were the Israelites who had salvation in their grasp. Hey, but wanted to say, crucify Him. We have no part of it. His blood be upon our hands and our children's hands. But the eternal purpose was made. Not even death itself could change that.
Amen.
Not even death itself. Hey, could change Christ from becoming the first fruit and rising up from the dead, going to the grave and going coming back. Amen. And ascending to His Father. Amen. And after that, we find that He sends out the disciples to go preach. It starts at Jerusalem. Amen. That's where everything started in the Bible. It starts where the children of Israel started there. And it began to spread out through Judea.
Amen.
And then it began to spread out through Samaria. And because of one man named Paul,
Amen.
It spread out through the rest of the world.
Amen.
Because he persecuted the church of God.
Yeah.
They were forced to go into Samaria, and from there they sprang forth and went to many other places. The Gentiles carried the gospel. First the disciples, which were Jews. Then we find the disciples make disciples of others. Amen. And those include Gentiles and Jew alike. He talked to Paul said salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Amen. I'm glad there's no respect of person with God, but He came to the world to say whosoever will.
Amen.
And the ones He wants to use is you and me.
Yeah.
To get the word out. That is the eternal purpose.
Amen.
The foreordained plan of God. That the gospel would be preached by the lowliest of lowly. To redeem the whole world. Israel will come back to the fold. If you'll find out about all that in Romans 9 through 11. Hey, where he talks about, you know, me and you being grafted in, not to take that little lightly.
Right.
Hey, because just as quick as God grafted us in, He can chop us off.
That's right. Amen.
I saw that today, and I tell you what, it made a lot of sense. Hey, man, that God would choose me and you. Hey, man, not just an old sinner, amen, not just an old sinner, but one that wasn't even contained in the plan of salvation in the first place. It was to the Israelites.
Right.
And circumcision was the sign of the covenant that He made with Abraham. They were supposed to circumcise their male children 8 days after they were born. And if anybody come in from another nation, they had to be circumcised too.
Right.
To show that they were part of the covenant.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, when Christ went on the cross and He come off from there, He still had the scars to prove that there was a new covenant in effect. The New Testament, in other words, was in effect. And now we know that all that come to Christ, He shall in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad for that eternal purpose, that eternal weight of glory. Amen. That hope that we have beyond any other hope in the world, that's an anchor of our soul. Amen. That Christ, amen, came to the world to save sinners of whom I am chief.
Amen.
That purpose is an unchanging purpose. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Christ had it all planned out.
That's right.
Amen. That by the lowliest of the low, the whole world should be saved and man reconciled back to Him. This one verse comes back to me time and time again today. I don't know why. Amen. But it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're familiar, amen, with verse 17 where it says that He that's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. But if you read on down, verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in the Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Me and you want to go out. God wants me and you to go out in the world reconciling those that are out in the world back to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. The original plan, amen, not plan, but the original concept was that man would stay in the Garden of Eden. But when he fell, amen, he was
distance from the Garden of Eden and where God actually dwelled. He was distanced from that place.
Yeah.
From that time onward, he had to take him wherever he went, in an old tabernacle, old tent, on top of the Ark of the Covenant where God would sit on the mercy seat. Amen. But now God, sometimes us that were afar off, amen. Hey, now we're made nigh by the blood of Christ and we're as close to them. Hey, we're close to God in Christ as the high priest himself was. Because we have a high priest in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
It's so amazing how everything is woven and it fits so closely together.
Right.
Amen. When you ask God for wisdom, when you ask God and when you read your word, amen, I tell you, sometimes it gets boring. I'll be the first to admit it. You think you read something over and over and over and you don't know where to even read. Hey, but then one day you open your Bible, amen, and something new just jumps out and grabs you by the lapel and shakes you a little bit.
That's right.
I tell you what the key is, don't quit reading. Don't give up. Keep on and something will show up. Something will appear.
That's
right. A lot of people don't have patience. They give up too easy. They don't have long suffering.
That's
one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Man.
One of them that we most dread than any of them. Ain't that right, Kathy?
That's right.
Long suffering. I'm glad that y'all have been long suffering through my long-winded preaching tonight.
You're all right.
I tell you what, I love the Lord tonight. I love that He had called me and enabled me to preach the Word. The everlasting gospel, the Bible said, will be preached.
Man.
In the very last book of the Bible, Revelation. Amen. I tell you what, the gospel tonight has been preached. Amen. If you're under the sound of my voice and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, amen, you don't know this Jesus we've been talking about. He wants to use you, amen, in mighty and great ways. Amen. He wants to straighten out your life. Amen. Then He wants you to help straighten out the lives of others. Amen. He wants you to use you to bring them to Him so that He can make a great start in their lives.
That's right. Amen.
Can we stand this evening?
Yeah.
As I come to a close. We'll have a verse of a song on the piano here.
Last one.
If you have a need tonight, I don't know your heart, I don't know. Amen. Anybody's personal salvation is between you and the Lord. But I know one thing, even if everybody's house will say, this is meant for somebody.
That's right.
Nobody else is meant for me. And I hope everybody's got something out. Maybe you can share something that I've said that God has used tonight to talk to your family about it. Amen. To talk to your friends about it. To talk to your co-workers about it. To think that God would choose me and you when He had a people that rejected Him. Don't be like those people tonight. Don't reject Him. Amen. He went to the cross for you. Amen. He went to the cross so He could dwell and live with you. He was tired, Brother Jerry, of dwelling in an old tent. Tired of dwelling in temples made with man's hands. He wanted to dwell once again with His own creation, me and you. And if He's not dwelling in you tonight, then you need to come and open your doors and set out the welcome mat and say, God, You're welcome to come in my heart and dwell with me.
Amen.
Clean up the house and make it new. Sweep it and garnish it. And I might be able to be used by you once again. Would there be anyone to come tonight? Maybe you've got loved ones that you need to pray for. Maybe you've got friends that you need to pray for. Maybe you've got a burden on your heart for somebody. You can come as well. You don't have to be lost to pray. Thank God for that.
That's right.
You don't have to be lost to pray.
That's right.
Amen. I tell you what you have to be is you have to be of a contrite heart, obedient spirit. And you can come and give your heart to Christ. And you can serve all that for Him and make things right. As we come to a close tonight, I thank you for your attention. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to come back again tonight. I didn't have a clue what I was going to preach until earlier today. I tell you what, that's just how God works for me. I can study all week and worry myself to death. Amen. And I try to study as much as I can, but when it comes time, amen, I have to lean on the Lord.
That's right.
Lord, I still don't know what to do.
That's right.
I still need you to guide me. He spoke to me tonight. Please.